Good morning. Let's open up this morning's service to number 185 in your hardback. Number 185, it's the blue one. Glorious things of thee are spoken. Number 185, please stand.
Two things happened at the same time. Nobody read the scripture, and I'm near deaf. I didn't hear what I was supposed to do. Good morning. You know, occasionally, the Holy Spirit softens our heart, opens our eyes when we're reading the scriptures. And a verse will come up that touches us so much that it'll almost bring us to tears. One of them is in Matthew chapter 9. It's about a lady that had an issue of blood. At that time, they were under the Mosaic economy, and the law said that if you had an issue of blood, you're unclean. Anyone that touched you was unclean. Anyone you touched was unclean. So this lady had no social life. She'd been going to the doctors. The doctors took everything she had. She was no better. In fact, she was worse. Her health was really bad. No social life, bad health. No future. This lady had nothing. She had nothing, but she had one hope, and only one. There was a man named Jesus of Nazareth. And verse 21 says this, she said within herself, if I could but touch his garment, I would be whole. That's how these things work. Whenever there's no hope left and the Holy Spirit gives us hope, then we realize that we can be made whole. Another verse that has really touched me is in John chapter 13. That's what I'll be speaking to you this evening or this morning. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, this is 2 days before the Passover, 2 days before the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, tried, and crucified. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Our 56th anniversary was last week, so love is on my mind. 56 years me and Deanna have been married. She's put up with me for 23,747 days, including today, in case you're counting. That seems like a long time, and to the natural man it is. But it is a dust on the ballast. It's a drop in the ocean compared to the love that Jesus Christ had for his own. You see, in this life, love has a beginning. And love also has an ending. 57.5 years ago, I began to love my wife. And it honestly and truly seemed like yesterday. I look at her and she looks no different than she did coming down the aisle. But there will be an end to her love for me or my love for her in this life. You see, love to us, because we're finite creatures, because we're in the flesh, because we come into this world born a sinner, we live our whole lives as a sinner, and we die as a sinner. And if by God's grace the Holy Spirit borns us again, there's not much difference. We're still a sinner. We have no concept of perfect love. We just don't know. I can sit here in this church all I want to and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And people do that all the time. And you convince yourself that you really do love Jesus. But when you're confronted with him, you realize that you don't even know what love is. Job was a perfect and an upright man. That's what God said about him. Hast thou beheld my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man? Job justified himself through over 40 chapters that he hadn't done anything wrong. Scripture says that Job neither sinned with his mouth nor murmured against God. And yet, whenever the Lord appeared to him in a whirlwind, what happened? Job saw who God is and who he was. And he said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes behold thee, and I hate myself. So we don't really know what love is. Isaiah, who God used to give us some of the most beautiful passages in the Scriptures about the coming of Christ. Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Now here's a man that had received a lot of visions from God, had been given a lot of instruction, and I'm sure that Isaiah thought, well, I must be doing something right because God's dealing with me. But when he saw the Lord, what did Isaiah say? He said, woe is me. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We do not have the desire or the ability to love anyone or anything in this life with our whole mind, our whole heart, and our whole soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. We cannot do it. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. That's our gift from Adam. No ability, no desire to love like we should. Like I said, love in this life has a beginning and it has an ending. I want to talk to you this morning about two things. Number one is the love of amongst ourselves. And the other is the love of Christ. The love between ourselves has start somewhere and it ends with death. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ never stops. It had no beginning. No beginning. Now, George Strait or whoever it was can get up on the stage and he can play his guitar and he can sing, I'm going to love you forever, forever and ever. Amen. That's not going to happen. Whitney Houston, we had a beautiful voice. She can sing, I will always love you. That's not going to happen either. About the best you can do is to tell your wife, look her deep in the eye, put your arm around her, tell her, sweetheart, I will love you as long as I live. That's about the best you can do. Because death is the end of love. There'll come a day, and I don't like thinking about it, there'll come a day when I'll get up and Deanna won't be there. She'll be with the Lord. And I'll be devastated. All these years, I'll still love her, but she'll be with the Lord. The Lord will wipe the tears from her eyes, and she won't care about me. There's no regrets in heaven. None. But I'll still be here. I'll still love her. It's a small thing, but I won't have anybody to straighten out the straps on the coveralls, to do all the things she does for me. Turn, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. You have the Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. That's why we say as long as there's life, there's hope. We all know people that are unsaved and are getting on up in age, and we think, well, as long as they're alive, God could reach them. As long as there's life, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Our love for others dies with us. It's gone. We're not coming back in this life. We'll come back with the resurrection, but not before. Love amongst each other includes your mother, your father, your wife, your husband, your children, and us here in this church. Remember whenever someone came to the Lord and he said, Lord, your mother and your brethren are outside and they want to talk to you. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked around at those that were following him and he said, behold, my mother, my brother, my sister, we are a family. We all belong, the children of God all belong to Christ. We are the own that are in the world that he's loved forever. We should be so close to each other. I should be ready to forgive you anything before I would ever forgive myself for even the slightest thing. I should love you when I don't love anybody else. I should overlook your fault. Put my arm around you and say, it'll be all right. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. We are a family. That's the love amongst ourselves. That's the love that will perish when we die. I'll go on loving Deanna if she goes first, but like I said, she won't even remember me. She'll be in a place where the only thing that matters is the Lord Jesus Christ. Her love for me will have perished. The love that we have is so fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Because we are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity, Psalms 58. Because we go astray from the womb, speaking lies, as soon as we be born, Psalm 58. Because we are a finite being, because we've been ruined by Adam, we really and truly cannot understand love. Especially not a love like the Lord Jesus Christ has for his children. Never had a beginning like mine did for my wife. Never have an ending like it will when one of us passes on. No beginning and no ending. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second thing that we want to talk about this morning. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Did you know that's the gospel? We live in a world that's so twisted and warped that right is wrong and wrong is right and nobody knows which way to go. Where is the truth? What is truth? We live in a world that is so bad that we can just barely get along in it. But there are people in this world that belong to Christ. Having loved his own which are in the world. There are people here, children of God, not even born yet, that Christ will maintain the course of history, the way the world works. Not one child of God will perish before the Holy Spirit borns him again. This is the gospel. Having loved his own which were in the world. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Adam, red earth. There on the ground is the form of a man, just a big pile of dust. But in that pile of dust is everything that will ever happen. Every person that will ever be born with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ is there. Every child of God in every age is bound up in that pile of dirt. The fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, the First World War, the Second World War, everything, Everything that's ever going to come to pass is right there in the form of a man. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough. He loved me enough to breathe into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Because Adam lived, we live. Because Adam lived, millions and millions of children of God over the ages will be born and come to know Christ and go on to be in glory. Everything that has ever happened in this world, everything happens because of the children of God. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those that love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ loved Abel enough to take him on up into heaven when his brother Cain hated him and killed him. The Lord Jesus Christ loved Enoch enough to translate him from the land of the living straight into heaven. Scripture says Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He did the same thing with Elijah. He loved Elijah enough to send a fiery chariot down here, scoop him up, and take him straight into heaven. He loved Noah enough to put 8 people in an ark. And by extension, He loved us enough to put 8 people in an ark, pitched within and without, emblematic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only refuge in an empty world. He put them in there and saved them so that mankind would not perish from the earth. If Noah had not lived, we wouldn't even be here. There were the Lord Jesus Christ and 2 angels going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Scripture says that the cry of the city had come up into heaven. They're going to go check it out. That's for our benefit, because God doesn't have to check anything out. That's so we might understand what's going on. And they came to a man's tent named Abraham. And Abraham fixed him a meal, and his wife Sarah is standing right inside the tent. And the Lord Jesus Christ told Abraham, He said, according to the time of life, that's 9 months, according to the time of life, Sarah shall bear a son. And Sarah's right inside the tent, and Sarah laughed. Yeah, good luck with that. Abraham's 99 years old, and I'm right at 90 or right over it. He hadn't given me a kiss in the last 60 years. Good luck with a child when I'm shriveled up and dried up and Abraham don't want me. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And she lied. I didn't laugh. Who, me? No, I didn't laugh. I believe every word you said. Sarah laughed in the face of God at a promise. And Sarah lied when God confronted her about it. And yet, in Hebrews chapter 11, Scripture says, Sarah herself, through faith, received strength to conceive. Does that sound like the Sarah I just told you about? You have to understand this, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved Sarah enough to die on the cross for her sin of blasphemy, to die on the cross for Sarah's other sin. He loved her enough to do this, and she stood holy and without blame before God in love, because Jesus Christ loved her. If Jesus Christ loves us, we will be called. We do not have sin because we belong to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ loved David enough to die on the cross for his sin of adultery and murder. Not only that, he gave David enough faith to say this, although my house be not so with God. We only know for sure one of his children was a child of God. That's Solomon. Although my house be not so with God, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The Lord Jesus Christ loved David enough to cleanse him from his sin. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ had no beginning. It's foolish to think that the Lord started loving us the day we were saved. We were always saved. We have belonged to Christ forever. God never changes. There never was a time whenever I started to belong to Christ. I've always belonged to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says that that God had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself according to the riches of His grace. That He gave us to Christ, that He made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. God loved us and gave us to Christ, and Christ loves us. We went into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a part of Him. Everything that Christ did to make the Lord happy, we did it. We were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I was resurrected with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has resurrected us with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, in parentheses, and raised us up together to sit with Christ in heavenly places. He's always loved us. There was never a beginning for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ever. It's just something that's always been. And the thing about the love of Christ is this. It's a particular love. It's only for His children. Oh, He takes care of the world. Because He is the Creator. All things were made by Him, John chapter 1. And without Him was not anything made that is made. He sends rain in the wilderness where no man lives, according to the book of Job. He causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He allows people to do things that you wonder how they can get away with it. He keeps the world going. But only for us. I can guarantee you that the book of life has a last name. And when that last name is called by the Holy Spirit and born again, and there's no more names in the book of life, how long do you think this world's going to go on if there's no children of God left? Not even 10 seconds. The world is here for us because Christ loves us. And everything works to our good. Now, most of the Bible commentators will tell you that this passage of Scriptures is only for the disciples. Having loved His own which was in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, whatever the end is, that's for another message. We're not going to speak about that this morning. But I don't think that. I think that all of us are included in this. We're in the world. We definitely are. We're surrounded by people that hate us along with those that love us. So why wouldn't it apply to us? There was a rich young ruler that came running up to the Lord. He apparently a health nut. Runs up to the Lord. He said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?" Scripture says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And yet he went away sorrowful because he didn't want to give up everything he had. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, loves you, you will have a day of grace. You're guaranteed a day of grace because he loved you before the foundation of the world. And there is an appointed time when the Holy Spirit will raise you from being dead in sin and open your eyes and you can see the kingdom of God. It wasn't that day, apparently. It could be tomorrow. It could be a year, 10 years, 20 years. But before a child of God dies, he will be born again. He will confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, and he will believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, and he will be saved. It's written in the book of life. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and you can bet your last dollar that he came to Christ before he died. And he wasn't one of the 12. He's just some rich young ruler. Mary and Martha, the two sisters, they sent a message to the Lord. And all the message said was this: "Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick." And the Lord Jesus Christ tarried there another day or two until Lazarus died. He loved Mary, and he loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus enough to stand outside that tomb and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And the Lord said, "Loose him." That's every one of us here. We are dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves us enough to say, "Robert Horton, come forth." And I came forth bound hand and foot, wrapped up in this sinful flesh. And he said, "Loose him." And that loosing could come any day. And Lazarus wasn't one of the 12. He's just Lazarus. So when it says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. It's everybody, every child of God. The Roman soldiers nailed two thieves to two crosses and raised them up, one on either side of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was numbered with the transgressors. That's what that means. He's up there with two thieves. And they railed on him. If you are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God, save yourself and save us. And you've got a bunch of measly little people down there saying, if you are the Son of God, save yourself. Others you saved, you can't save yourself. They did not know that 12 legions of angels could have made this whole universe a waste howling wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ was voluntarily on that cross. One of these men, we don't know their name. Scripture didn't tell us. But the Lord knew his name because his name was in the book of life before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world on this thief's behalf. And because Jesus loved him, the Holy Spirit born this man again, hanging on a Roman cross. No hope, no future, no way out of this. Nobody ever came down from a cross alive. He has nothing. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when this man was dead in sins, has raised him up from the deadness and caused him to live. The Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do you know that? I'm going to tell you how I know it. Because the thief cried out, Lord. Scripture says no man can call Jesus Christ Lord except the Holy Ghost do it. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You got a man that's only hours away from dying and he wants to go to the Lord to the next kingdom. Only faith can do that, and faith is a gift of God, and it's only given to those that the Lord Jesus Christ loves. This redemption that we're talking about is not a class action redemption. You see these ads on television. Well, if you think you've ever suffered a wrongdoing, get in with us. We're going to get you some money. Redemption is not like that. The love of Christ is a particular love, and it's a particular redemption. It's only for those He loves. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us enough to be beaten and spit on and unjustly tried. He was despised and afflicted. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He did all of these things voluntarily. He did all of these things for every sin I will ever commit. He died for my past sins, the sins I'm committing today, and He died for my future sins. Either all of them or none of them. He either died for my sins or I'll die for my own sin. He died for my sins, every one of them. It's not a class action redemption because He didn't just say, well, I'm going to die for adultery. Here's this big pool of forgiveness for adultery. I'm just going to die for murder, big pool of forgiveness for murder. He died for David's adultery. He died for my adultery. He died for the adultery of every child of God individually that ever lived. There's no such thing as dying for sin indiscriminately. Redemption is a one-on-one thing. It's between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. He either died for the forgiveness of your sin or He didn't, but it is one-on-one. It's a particular redemption. So He was despised and rejected. He was arrested unlawfully. He was tried unlawfully. The Roman government nailed Him to a cross when they knew He was innocent and crucified Him anyway. But that's nothing compared to the rest of it. Scripture says that He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, all of the wrath of God fell on Him. Only the Lord of glory could have stood up under that. All of the hatred that God has for sin fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so bad that He was abandoned by the Father. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He was forsaken by God for me and for you if you're a child of God. He did this for us. And now because He lives, we live. There's no end to the good things that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We do not have the capacity to realize what really happened. We're in the flesh, and the flesh is going to bind us until God takes us out of it. Then we'll know. We'll see Him for who He is. We'll be with Him forever. And we'll know the magnitude of what He did for us. And we'll see our own ungratefulness and our own stupidity. We are as a beast before Him, and we don't even have enough sense to know that. But because Jesus loves His own, which are in the world, He gives us a sense of peace. He gives us a sense of brotherhood. He gives us a sense of spiritual goodness when we come here and hear the Word. I look out and I see everybody I love in one room. You're not going to get that anywhere else. He has given us so much. Tell you the good news. There's nothing you have to do to get it. There's nothing you have to do to keep it. He's going to do all the work. He's going to born you again. He's going to take away your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He's going to give you an eye to see the kingdom of God. He's going to give you the faith, the strength like Sarah to conceive. He's going to give you everything. And the sad part is we don't have enough faith to get a hold of it. We're sinners. We're just who we are. Just who we are. But we have this reassurance that the Lord Jesus Christ loves His own which are in the world. He's never been a day when He didn't love me. There's never been a day when He will not love me. When I die, I quit loving everybody. He's not going to die because He lives. He loves us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. In light of these things, Scripture says this. Knowing these things, that all things work together for good, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. All things work together good for those that love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. Because whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, Him He also glorified. You have the Word of God that these things have occurred. I have the promise of God that I've been predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. It's right here in the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In light of all of that, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even at the right hand of God, and maketh intercession for us. Knowing all of these things, everything I've told you about the love of Christ, the never-ending love of Christ that goes on forever and ever, what He's done for us by dying on the cross, and He has a reward. Did you know that? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "and being found in fashion as a man, He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All of this is his, and we belong to him. In light of everything I have told you about the love of Christ and what he's done for us and what God has promised us, everything's been taken care of. We should be able to stand here this morning and say with the Apostle Paul that we are persuaded, verse 38, we are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we had the capacity to know what this means, we would never worry about anything for the rest of our lives. The thing is this, search the Scriptures. Make sure that you're at the foot of the right Jesus. Because like I told you, this is not a class action redemption. Not everybody's going to heaven. If you're a child of God, He will open your eyes to the Scriptures. As much as a human being can, he will give you the knowledge to know about the Lord. Children of God are guaranteed this. Children of God are going to get it regardless of the circumstances. Children of God will be called. I've told you this before. If you're a child of God in your day of grace, God will send someone for you. And you'll know it. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That's one of the verses that when you read it and realize what it means and realize how much I can understand it and how dumb I am about the things of God, that it will almost move you to tears. Father, we thank you for being gathered here this morning, Father. We ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts even a little bit to the things you've done for us, Father, that you'd cause us to be grateful, Lord, that you'd cause us to want to love you with all of our mind, Father, and all of our heart and all of our soul, even knowing that we're not capable of doing it, Father, that you'd turn us to the one that can. You'd turn our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts toward Jesus. Father, thank you for being here again this morning. Be with Greg and the other preachers as they bring the messages in Lexington, Father. Give them liberty and give them the Spirit of Christ, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.